We long to be loved. Who loves you? Who do you love? Perhaps you feel unloved at the moment. History is littered with tales of love, extraordinary love that's broken boundaries and conventions. As I record this, it's VE Day, and we remember love that gave itself to protect others. History tells us of love that's crossed continents and cultures that never gives up. Love that sacrificed all for the sake of others. What about Lawrence Oates, who left his Antarctic tent with the words, "I'm just going outside and maybe sometime." Maybe you can tell your own story of extraordinary love. Whatever love story we love, fact or fiction, whatever story we might have, nothing comes close to the greatest love story of all time. A true story, grounded in history, of one man's love that's broken all boundaries and conventions, breached all continents and cultures, that never gave up to the very end. A love that paid the ultimate price. One who had everything, yet became nothing. Driven by love for those who hated him. Yet he loved them and gave his life that they might live. There are pages and pages written about this man's love. Every page of the Bible screams about God's love for the world. Every page of the Bible points to the love of Jesus Christ, who came to earth as a man, giving up the glory of heaven to face persecution and rejection, to be unjustly murdered at a desperately cruel and painful death, so that we might not face that same fate. The Son of God who sacrificed his relationship with his dad, that we might become children of that same Heavenly Father. That's one mighty love story. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The love of Christ is the greatest love story of all time. Even if you don't know it, you are more loved than you can ever imagine, with a real and true love that changes human lives. Do have your Bibles open if you have them with you. We're in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 21. Let me pray for us before we dive into these verses. Father God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. This morning is St. Richard's first live broadcast since our last live service back in March. It's been a joy to minister together with All Saints week by week on Sunday mornings, but now a moment to re-establish our ministry as St. Richard's Church. And with that, a single sermon to mark this new season of being St. Richard's on Sundays in light of the lockdown and coronavirus. A sermon about church and what it means to be a church, a body of people trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the death he died for us that we might live, that we might have a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. And as we're thinking about church and what it means to be the church of St. Richard's in Crowborough, the word for us this morning from Ephesians chapter 3 is that God wants this church to know the love of Christ. God wants this church to know the love of Christ. And we're talking about us this morning. Not me. Everything that flows from our passage is about us together. It's a prayer to the church about the church. A word for us as a church this morning in the middle of lockdown. God wants us to know the love of Christ. How often we ask, what does God want us to do? Does God want us to embark on a new building project to expand our capacity? Does God want us to start a new work in our local community? Which mission partners does God want us to take on this coming year? What does God want us to do? And the things that concern us shape our prayers. We pray about the things we think are most important. So what does Paul pray for? Well, Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, that the church might know the love of Christ and grasp its entirety. It's not wrong to be concerned about the different parts of the ministry here at St. Richard's. But the question, what does God want us to do as a church? Well, it has a much more fundamental answer. God wants this church to know the love of Christ. At one level, God doesn't care whether we expand the building to match the growing church family. He doesn't care which particular outreach projects we're involved in. He doesn't care whether we partner with missionaries in Crowborough or Cameroon. Fundamentally, God wants this church to know the love of Christ, the greatest love story of all time, of one man who gave his life that we might live in him. This is Paul's prayer for the church. So we know it's Paul's concern for the church. And if it's Paul's prayer and concern for the church, it ought to be our prayer and concern for our church too. We ask, what does God want this church to do? Well, Ephesians 3, 17 to 18. God wants this church to know the love of Christ. Which begins with prayer, praying. It's Paul's model for us. What's Paul doing here? Well, he's praying, verse 14, kneeling before the Father, praying to him. Verse 16, I pray. Verse 17, and I pray. How do we know and grow in the love of Christ? Well, start with prayer. It sounds stupidly simple, but ask God. That's what Paul's doing here. God wants this church to know the love of Christ. So pray for power that we might know the love of Christ. Ask God. Pray for power that we might know the love of Christ. Ask God. We ask God for lots of things, lesser things. Ask him for this most important thing. Prayer is at the heart of what it means to be a church. We're a group of people drawn into a loving relationship with our Heavenly Father. Being church is a relational thing. How do we treat relationships? Now, I'm not Mr. Marriage Expert, but one thing I have learned after nearly 14 years of marriage is that it is helpful on occasion to talk to Jane. What sort of relationship would it be if we relied solely on texts or emails, just reading about one another but not interacting with each other? I suspect a key reason Zoom's been so popular during lockdown, it's not the same as being with those we love, who don't live with us, but we are there speaking, interacting together in real time. Think about our church family. We've been trying to make sure everyone has regular contact with others in the church. Trish and I are regularly phoning different people, and we're so encouraged to hear that others are doing that too. What if you didn't speak to anyone else from St. Richard's during this period of lockdown? That would be weird. We're meant to be brothers and sisters in Christ, but we wouldn't have any meaningful relationship. Another reason the lockdown is so hard is because we have to work so much harder for meaningful relationships with each other when we can't be together. I am conscious now that even this morning you are listening to a recording of me. We're not interacting properly. That's a key reason we're planning from next week onwards to try Sunday worship together over Zoom. That's live relationships together. Even in this period of social isolation, can I encourage us to find ways to still share our lives together as a church family, even though we can't be together? Because that's how we'll maintain meaningful relationships together. And so it follows, how much weirder if, as God's children, those trusting in the Lord Jesus, we never speak to our Heavenly Father. If we constantly act like sullen teens refusing to speak to our parents. Or when we speak to God, what if we only ever speak superficially? Many of us here will know the drift and damage that occurs from a lack of meaningful communication in relationships. So too with God. No prayer. No real relationship with our Heavenly Father. Pray for power that we might know the love of Christ. That Paul prays for power for the church at Ephesus tells us they're weak. Weak and need power. We are, as God's people, instinctively weak at praying to our Heavenly Father. Take every opportunity to pray. Someone said to me last year, never fail to act on an urge to pray. Never fail to act on an urge to pray. Take every opportunity to pray. And take every opportunity to pray together. Come and meet and pray together. We are weak and we need strengthening. And pray strengthening prayers, not simply for a change in our circumstances or ease and comfort. Pray for strength that we might know the love of Christ. Little prayers, little God, big prayers, big God. God often waits until us, so we know how much we depend on him. You know the old adage, don't ask, don't get. Well, let's ask to be a church where verse 17, Christ dwells in our hearts through faith, where we're rooted and established in love, of Christ's love for us, where we know the love of Christ. It begins with prayer. Pray for power that we might know the love of Christ, that God by his Spirit would root and establish us in the love of Christ. That God by his Spirit would root and establish us in the love of Christ. We pray for strength to know the love of Christ. By his Spirit, God roots and establishes us in it. As members of the church, those trusting in the Lord Jesus, God dwells in us by his Spirit. Paul's prayer here in verse 17 is that the Lord Jesus may feel perfectly at home amongst us. That this church might be somewhere the Lord Jesus dwells perfectly, not awkwardly. Not somewhere that's alien to him, but somewhere he's not ashamed to call his home. From that point, like the plant that takes root, firmly established, this love of Christ that's taken root amongst us can grow. Spread upwards and outwards, higher and wider, and as the plant grows and the root deepens, until the plant is fully established, mature. Pray for power that we might know the love of Christ, that God by his Spirit would root and establish us in the love of Christ. That we might grasp the entirety of the love of Christ. That we might grasp the entirety of the love of Christ. To comprehend together fully how Christ's love for his people works. The wonder of this love. That we know Ephesians chapter 2 verse 4 more fully. Better translated in the ESV, that God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That we might truly grasp this great love with which God has loved us. The love of Christ. A love, verse 19, that surpasses all knowledge. Pray for the power that we might know the love of Christ, that God by his Spirit would root and establish us in the love of Christ, that we might grasp the entirety of the love of Christ. And so we arrive at the heart of the matter. Now is the moment to switch back on if you switched off. The love of Christ is the gospel. The great love with which God has loved us. The work of God in Christ, brought to us by the work of God in the Holy Spirit, not to fill our heads, but to change our lives. God wants this church to know the love of Christ, which means more than simply knowing a gospel outline, that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins, for our wanting to live as gods of our lives instead of God. More than simply knowing the details of Bible texts. For example, getting a grasp on the letter to the Hebrews, which is our current preaching series. That's not what Paul's getting at. God wants this church to know the love of Christ, which means knowing him relationally. Living as his people in a way that the great love with which he has loved us pours out of us in how we relate to him, to one another and to the world. Lives changed by the gospel. Loving and serving one another and sharing the gospel with unbelievers. Not just understanding the technicalities of various Bible texts, but understanding the one to whom every page of the Bible points. that we would see Jesus in this church and in the lives of the people of this church, and especially in challenging times like this, when we're all perhaps asking more questions about life than ever before. Pray for power that we might know the love of Christ, that God by his Spirit would root and establish us in the love of Christ, that we might grasp the entirety of the love of Christ, so that we might become more like Christ, so that we might become more like Christ. Because that's what's happening as the love of Christ takes root in us and as we grasp its entirety. It changes us that we may become more like Christ. Paul's prayer in verse 19, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Think of a dry dock on a river, little tributaries running off on each side, sectioned off in parts so that boats can be stored and mended on dry land. The water fills the main river, but there are still parts it doesn't quite reach. Being filled to the measure is like the opening of the dry docks. The water now penetrates that which was previously unreached, so that the whole riverbed is filled to the measure. There's no bit left untouched. When we, this church, grasp the love of Christ, we start being transformed into his likeness. A church that's filled with Christ, becoming more like him, which works itself out in many ways amongst us. For example, commitment to one another, serving one another, supporting and encouraging one another. And there's so much of this going on amongst us at St. Richard's. But why do we do it? Because we know the love of Christ ourselves. We love because he first loved us. Why bother committing to relationships with one another? Well, because of Jesus' commitment to us. In spite of his overwhelming sorrow in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't give up, but he went to the cross. Why bother serving and supporting and encouraging one another? Because Jesus, the Son of God, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And the power to do that comes from God. That's Paul's point in verses 16 and 20. It's God's power at work within us. We are weak, ill-equipped, inexperienced, too busy, don't know where to begin. But verse 20, it's according to his power that is at work within us. Our motivation to serve others where they need it, well, it's not law or guilt, but love. When we know amongst us the love of the one who hung on a cross and said to God, I can and I will, he gives us a different perspective. We will never love and serve God wholeheartedly apart from God's power at work within us. Paul's prayer may seem like an extravagant request to us, that we might know the love of Christ in this way. But God is able to do this and much more. Our request, if we will but pray, is more than matched by God's ability. The difference is possible even for a small church like St. Richard's, full of imperfect people, because it's God's power that is at work within us. Pray for power that we might know the love of Christ, that God by his Spirit would root and establish us in the love of Christ, that we might grasp the entirety of the love of Christ, so that we might become more like Christ. And final point, bringing God glory as his power works within us. Bringing God's glory as his power works within us. The ultimate end of grasping the love of Christ in its entirety is that God is glorified as his people become more like the Lord Jesus Christ. None of this is about us, but about God. I remember someone teaching me the basics of reading the Bible. When you read it, he said, remember this, it's not about you, stupid. In Colossians 1, Paul writes about Jesus that by him all things were created. Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. knowing the love of Christ, that we may become more like Christ. It's not even an end in itself. Rather than in becoming more like Jesus, we bring God glory, demonstrating his power to change human lives and living a life together that honours him. Being the church at St. Richard's God wants us to be is about God's glory. And this works itself out in many aspects of our life together as a church family. In this time of coronavirus and lockdown, and when we're back together again, whenever that might be, committing to one another, serving one another, supporting and encouraging one another, done for God's glory as we one another together. The end is God's glory, not anything else we might desire. It's not about us. That's what it means to know the love of Christ in this church family at St. Richard's in this current season of life together and beyond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, out of your glorious riches, may you strengthen us with power through your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. And we pray that being rooted and established in love, we may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, to the glory of your name. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.